This morning, we do have Bill Chapone. Chapone, like Capone. Like Capone, huh? Chapone. He's now the Bible Mafia instead of Organized Mafia. Organized Distribution of Bibles. Chapone. Bill Chapone is here with us from the Gideons. And you may come on up here. And I have a DVD that he would like me to begin with. You want me to begin with that?
No, I'll give you the...
No, I didn't. All right, I'll get it set up here. You may go ahead. I'm going to try and get this one started.
I understand I have up to 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's about right. Sure.
Or more.
Come with me, give or take.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I would like to compliment you on your singing. Boy, it's just like a choir. Heavenly choir. Sounds great. Thank you for that. This morning, I'm going to share with you some scripture, and I'm also going to share with you testimonies of what the Gideons, with the help of the churches, what the Gideons are doing throughout the world. We are now in 200 countries, and the scripture is translated in over 100 languages. So before I start sharing about the Gideons, I'd like to read a few words of scripture here in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 18. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. And the words going to the ends of the world, once again, are with the assistance of the churches supplying the funds to purchase the scripture to share throughout the whole world. And testimony here was given at our state convention, and I showed this in Smithport about a year or so ago, and some people there wanted me to go back in the afternoon to see it again because of the current family situations. So
which one is it that you want?
Pardon?
Which one is it here that you want?
That one in the left corner.
This one here?
No, on the bottom.
Here.
That's the one.
We need to have the pulpit mic turned up. I think. Or do I need a switch?
Heard of or knew something about Jesus Christ. So that's the way I grew up in California. My family is Jewish, so we didn't know Jesus. We didn't talk about Jesus. In fact, some of them said you're not even supposed to say that name. So in our family, we attended our synagogue. I was the only son, so it was on my list of responsibilities to attend the Hebrew school and the youth groups and everything. I had to train. I had to learn to speak, read, write the Torah and the Hebrew and do everything I could do to get ready for that big day, my bar mitzvah. And boy, I did a good job. You know how I know? My grandmother flew all the way out to California from New Jersey. She sat in the very front pew. And if your grandma cries, you've done good. Grandma cried. And I tell you that because I can stand here tonight and think back, and I can tell you that not one time do I ever remember anyone telling me that God loved me. He loved our people. But I didn't know He loved me. And I went into the world not knowing that God loved me and not knowing God. 1967, I joined the Army. I wanted to go to Vietnam to get out of this crazy house that I lived in and my dysfunctional family. I didn't get to go to Vietnam. They sent me to Korea, but I did my service. And in that time, I was introduced to drugs and alcohol. I was the youngest guy in the whole Army at the time. I was 17 years old, and everybody else was in their 30s at that time. And they were doing things that I had never thought about doing and started doing. And the problem is that once you start doing it, you can't stop doing it, and then you really can't stop doing it. So I got out of the Army, got married to Polly, and we have two daughters. During the time of our early marriage years, it was horrible for her. It was horrible for my children. I was a monster. I was a horrible, terrible, foul-mouthed, arrogant, evil person at home. At work, you couldn't tell. It was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was so hard for my children and my wife, all the years that I was abusive and hurtful and foul, that they got sick. In 1995, my beautiful wife developed breast cancer, bilateral, radical mastectomy. While she's going through surgery, I get a phone call from a sheriff's office down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And the sheriff said, Elliot, he knew me by my first name because my daughter had been arrested again 10 times in 10 years for the same thing, taking money, stealing, doing drugs. And he said, well, this time you're not going to be able to bail her out. He said, this time she's embezzled $250,000 from her employer through credit card and check fraud. She ended up going to prison in West Virginia for 3 years. We didn't know at the time that she was pregnant. She gave birth to our fourth grandchild in prison. I look at that and I think, okay, I can't be responsible for that. I can't help that. But then the Lord laid in my heart that I was responsible. I was responsible for weakening my wife's immune system by stressing her to the point that the cancer had the opportunity to take hold. It's my responsibility that my daughter stole people's money to buy things for other people. She bought a car and a truck and a house with that money that she embezzled. She bought all these things for a man who was the father of her children, who wouldn't marry her, and she thought, well, maybe this would do it. She had such low self-esteem because of the way I raised her. On Christmas Eve of 1996, I came home from a trip that I was on, and I came to, we live in the mountains of North Carolina, and my wife was home. She was recovering. She had been taking chemotherapy. I hadn't seen her in several days because I was on a trip. And when I came home, I knew she was home. The lights were on. We never lock our doors where we live. We live so far up in the mountain, nobody ever comes there. But this night, Christmas Eve, the doors were locked. I couldn't get in the house. I start knocking on it. I start knocking on the door, start beating on the door. I said, let me in or I'm going to kick the door in. And she finally came to the window of the door. And I didn't recognize her. She had lost her hair, her eyebrows, her eyelashes. Everything was gone. She was swollen. She looked terrible. She was crying. And I said, what's going on? Let me in. She said, no, you can't come in. And I said, why not? And she said, because I know where you've been. I know who you're with. I know what you were doing. And I can't take it anymore. You are no good for this family. Go away. Leave us alone. We're better off without you. I said, but, she said, you have destroyed your family. now go. And I had to go. So I got in my little truck and drove around, and I can't tell you I heard God's voice, because I always thought God sounded like Charlton Heston, and I didn't hear Charlton Heston. But I heard in my heart she was right, that I had destroyed my family. And this voice was speaking to me, and he said, you might as well have killed them. This is what I was thinking. I might as well have just killed all of them. I had a gun in my truck, and I went to a motel because I heard my wife's voice, and I thought, she's right. This has gone on too long. I'm out of control. There's no help for me. They are better off without me. I made a decision to end my life. It was just that simple. I went into the motel, and I was getting ready to do this evil deed, and I sat on the bed, and I looked over at the foot of the bed, and there was a TV on the dresser. And on top of the dresser, there was a book laying this. Y'all remember those TVs you could put things on top of? We get there. It really was on top of the TV. This is 1996. And I knew what it was. It was one of those Bibles. I've seen them before, but they're always in a drawer, aren't they? This place, they put them out on top of the TV in the rooms. And I looked down at it, and I knew what it was. It was that Christian Bible. I didn't want anything to do with it. I didn't want anything to do with God. And I just took the back of my hand and just swiped it off, and it fell on the floor, and it stayed open. That made me angry. And I tried to kick it under the bed. They had built a wooden box, like, under the bed. And it wouldn't go. I tried two or three times. It wouldn't go. So I had to pick it up. And as I picked it up, I looked down, and it said this: peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give to you. Listen to this. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I could not stop from crying. First time in my life I broke down. I was crying because I had no peace. I had no calmness. I had hurt. I was hopeless. There was no hope. And so I picked up that book, and I sat down on the bed, and I thought, I'm going to tell my wife I'm sorry before I die. I called her up, and as soon as I heard her voice, I said, Polly, I'm out of control. I need help. And she said, well, I can't help you anymore. You're on your own. I said, I don't know who to call. We live in a town of 900 people. She was born there. She's related to everybody. They all know what kind of a husband I've been for 20 years. They're not going to help me. They'd like to see me dead. I said, I don't know who to call. She said, well, you can call my pastor, but he probably won't want to talk to you. He doesn't like you. And it's true. He'd come to my house every year, 10 years at least, knock on the door. I would never let the man into my house. I'd talk to him through the screen. You can't come in. No, I know why you're here. I'm not interested in your Jesus. I don't need your Jesus. That's what I gave to him for 10 years. So at 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve, with icy rain coming down, I called him. I said, Pastor Goodman, this is Elliot Osowit. Do you remember me? Oh, yes. I said, I'm in trouble. I'm at this motel, and I've got a gun. I just wanted to talk to somebody. He said, where are you? I told him which motel I was in. I mean, there's only one in town, so. But here's what he said. Listen. He said, I'll be right there. See, what you heard was, I'll be right there. What I heard was, God loves me. God loves me. That this man of God is willing to get out of his warm bed next to his warm wife and get into a cold truck and drive on 2 inches of ice for 8 miles to come to see somebody he doesn't even like. So when I was called and said, Elliot, you want to come and give appreciation to pastors in Canonsburg? I said, you better believe it. I love you, pastors, and your wives and spouses who let you go out in the middle of the night to visit somebody that you may not even like. There's not a pastor in here that wouldn't have done the same thing. There's not a Gideon in here who hasn't put Bibles in motel rooms. And if it hadn't been for a Gideon coming to a church like yours and giving us a testimony or a report and passing the plate, and somebody put a $5 bill in that plate, that $5 bill bought this Bible. And the Gideon put it in that motel for me to find. Had that not been, I wouldn't be here tonight. I would be dead and I would be in hell. Pastor was a great influence in my life from then on. He encouraged me to go to Bible school, which I did for a couple of years. I came back and he actually hired me as an assistant for a while. And then a group of people came to us and said, we want to start a new church in our community. We want you to be the pastor. I said, I don't think there's such a thing as a Jewish Baptist pastor. Well, we're going to change the rules. So 15 years, we planted a church, mostly focusing on children. It's been awesome. I'm grateful to be here. I am grateful to be in a room of Gideons and pastors. And I want to ask you a question. Do y'all believe in miracles? You better. You better. You're about to see one. This is the greatest miracle in my book today. This is my family. This is not just a forgiven family or a reconciled family. This is a resurrected family. This is the power that Jesus talks about. I am the resurrection. Put your faith in Him and your family is saved. Thank you all. Shabbat Shalom. And God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Coal miner was sitting at the with his wife and little girl, at the supper table, and the little girl had a New Testament with her, and he said, "Little girl, I don't believe in that." He said, "I don't want you to have it." So he took it from her and put it in his vest pocket. The next day, he went to work at the mine. He had the New Testament with him in his vest pocket. And that day, there was an explosion in the mine. And he and several others, 10 or so others, were trapped in there. And they couldn't get them out in time anyway. So when they finally did get to them, they come to this man, and he had that New Testament clutched in his hand. And on the back of the New Testament, all our New Testaments and Bibles, okay, there's a place way in the back about my decision to receive Christ as my Savior. And that man had signed it. There's a place to sign it and put the date on there. Now, going back a little bit, there's some blank pages. And the other men had done the same thing. They had signed the New Testament that they had accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, I don't recommend that people wait until 11:59 and a half to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But He will accept you no matter when, whether it's your last breath or whatever. He will accept you if you believe in Him. So we have testimonies from all over the world. We get thousands of testimonies. And the Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And the Gideons are an association of business and professional men and their wives sharing God's word since 1899. And as I mentioned earlier, we're in 200 countries and scripture translated in 100, over 100 languages. Ray Hedstrom was going to work this one day, and before he left, he bent over to kiss his little boy goodbye. Well, that night it had rained, but first of all, they had paved their driveway, and on the side there they put a hole there for a basketball post. Now that hole was filled with water. The little boy went out there to play, and he fell headfirst into that hole and drowned. What does this have to do with Bibles? Well, over 350 Bibles were donated in his memory. And I believe you have a Gideon card rack here with right back there with several types of, I believe they're in memory of or thinking of you, and many other ways that you can dedicate Bibles so they can be given, these Bibles can be placed in hotels, motels, and different places where businesses will have them. Now, they say that there's one Bible has the potential of reaching 2,300 people. Now, 350 Bibles were donated in that little boy's memory. So you can figure out the math, or can you get the calculator out? And they're 2,300 times whatever. And you'll find you can come to the conclusion that the Gideons are very active throughout the world. And which reminds me that 4 years ago, I had the occasion to travel to Italy for the Gideons on what we call a scripture blitz. It's actually it's a saturation of Bibles in a particular area. And I was chosen to go to Rome, of course, mainly because I speak a language, and I was born there, came to this country at the age of 10, but I still speak the language. And so I had the opportunity to go to Rome with the Gideons. By the way, the churches don't pay for our expenses when we go anywhere. We pay our own way. So all funds go directly for the 100% for the printing and distribution of Bibles. Now, in Rome, we were there for 5 days, and we handed out over nearly 25,000 scriptures throughout the area. We went to universities, hospitals, and high schools, and I can't say we were well received all over. Now the schools over there are all gated in. You have to have have an ID in order to get in for whatever reason, whether you want to pick up your children or whatever you want to do. So it's nothing new in this country where they have police watching the schools. But the first day we were there, it was raining pretty hard. And we went to this one location at the school, and the guard wasn't too friendly. He had us move. We went to another location. He had us move again. Another guard had us move. And finally, a lady comes over and she said, you can stand right here and do what you got to do, which we did. And many people accepted these New Testaments. By the way, this is brown. This is the our personal workers' testament. These we purchased with our own funds, and we use these for personal witnessing, which we do every opportunity that we have. At the universities, there are many, many Muslims there. And what I heard from most of the Muslims was before they would accept one, well, we've heard about Jesus, but we heard of him as a prophet and as a teacher. We'd like to learn more. Well, this is it. This is where you're going to learn more about Jesus. We had people from other countries there, and most of them spoke English, and they would gladly accept one. Now, the arguments that I heard from most of the people, especially the people that spoke Italian, were no credo, no credo, which means I don't believe. And I would ask, how do you know you don't believe? unless you take one of these testaments and read about Jesus and about what this is about. And many of them would accept the New Testament at that encouragement time. So it was a very, very, very exciting experience. The one verse that many of the people hadn't heard was, or even read, was John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Now, in the Italian language, it goes, John 14:6 is, "Gesù glielisa, io sono la via, la verità, la vita. Nessuno viene al Padre se non per mezzo di me." Which, one of the words there, "without my permission," is without my permission. No one comes to the Father without my permission. And you saw many eyes opening up when they heard that. That you have to have Jesus' permission in order to go to the Father. Thank you again for your support of the Gideon Ministry. Kevin Gillespie and his brother Keith were students at the University of Wisconsin, and now they had been raised by their mother. And she took them to church. When they got to be 12 years old, they didn't want to go to church anymore because they thought there was nothing to be concerned about. So when they got to college, the Gideons just went, they were lined up along the walkway there handing out New Testaments. Now, Keith had some very unsavory compliments to the Gideons as he tried to hand him a New Testament. And then finally, after the third or fourth time, he decided he better take it because they'll keep stopping him anyway. So he took it and went to his room, and he started reading. And he read through the whole Gospel of Matthew, and then he read through the other Gospels. And then he got down on his knees and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, he went to check on his brother, Kevin, and to tell him what had happened. And when he got to his brother, he was kneeling by his bedside, praying a sinner's prayer, accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So we do your bidding we are an extension of your church, okay? So anytime you give a donation or take up an offering, which already has been done, that's what you're doing. You're giving. We are the legs and the feet and the mouth. You people are the supporters of the funds. But more importantly, we need your prayers for this ministry to succeed. As I mentioned earlier about the Bible Blitz, we take the God's Word in the streets, and we take every opportunity that we can to witness to people. Before I forget, but I need to mention that the New Testaments that we hand out, on the front there are various verses, several pages of. You know, people go through various situations in life that are hard to cope with, and in the front there are helps that you can look at. For instance, here, abuse. It tells you Mark 9:42, page 91, 1 Corinthians 7:2 and 3, page 331, and. Curious about God, it gives you the scriptures for that. John 1:1-4, John 14:6, and James 1:5, and it gives you the page numbers. In the different fairs that I've been to, especially the one in Jefferson County, you had one of these, and someone will tell you, "Well, I already have one." I said, "Do you use it?" "Not really." "Well, here's one for you that. If you have a problem, a situation you find it difficult to cope with, take one of these testaments, and it'll tell you in the front the page number and the verse you need to look up. And with that in mind, they take the New Testament with a smile on their face. McKean County Gideons, they place Bibles in hotels, motels, nursing homes, and any other place where they possibly can. And so they are busy. They are few here in McKean County. So with that in mind, I would ask if any of you men feel that you would like to give Bibles out and be a part of a Christian ministry, I would ask you to see me after the service, or you can contact one of the local Gideons, and there's one sitting back there. So, but they do need help in this area. Matter of fact, that's why I'm here from Brookville, because they need more people as speakers or presenters to the churches. In 2 weeks, I'll be close to home, about 9 miles from home. I will be at the Alliance Church in Punxsutawney. So we're kept pretty busy, and we gladly do it. It's for the glory of God. You have any questions you'd like to ask me? Pardon? Next month, it will be 37 years. And it gets better all the time. It gets a little more, at my age, it gets a little more difficult to trud along. But I feel as long as the Lord wants me to do this, you know, I will keep on doing it. So at age 82, I think he's been keeping me pretty busy. So, well, by the way, my wife Nancy, she comes with me every place that I go for the to represent the Gideons, and I'm very appreciative of her. I tell her, you don't have to go if you're tired, if you don't feel. No, I'm going. So yeah, getting up like 5:30 in the morning, you know, to travel, which is fine. You know, we gladly do it. So, if you don't have any, if you have any other questions, I'd be glad to answer them for you if I can. In other countries?
Like in countries of very hostile areas. Like
back oh, yeah.
Days, the communism,
so
they go into Russia.
Oh, yeah. We're in countries that most Muslim countries, we go in, and they allow us to. Of course, they're the local Gideons are the ones that do the work. And when people like myself, like went to Italy, for instance, we go there to help them out. And sometimes we have to kind of take the lead to do this. And in Italy, there was the Gideons there aren't too many gray hair. Most of them are young people, and they really love the Lord. And, of course, as you know, in Italy, it's not basically, but it's primarily Roman Catholic, which is the way I was raised, too. And we weren't encouraged to read the Bible or anything like that. And with... matter of fact, I have a half-hour DVD when I was there making my presentation to our state convention there 4 years ago. And someone asked me, why are you against Catholics? I said, I'm not. I said, I'm not against Catholics, but I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's the only way. So, but Jesus is accepted. But he is among many others, Saint so-and-so, Saint so-and-so, and Saint so-and-so. And I believe the Word of God tells us, once again, John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. no one comes to the Father except by me. And I have a lot of Catholic friends. And we're still friends, even though I'm not in that category anymore. So, but they ask a lot of questions. Matter of fact, I've even been friends with priests, you know. And so I guess I just love the ministry and love to be active in it. And I enjoy going to churches, making the presentation. And my prayer every time I do this is that it glorifies God, not me. I'm not a college graduate. I'm not a professor or anything like that. But I do this for the glory of God and not for the glory of Bill. And by the way, if you'd like to know, just a side note, my real name is not Bill or William, okay? My real name is Biagio, and my first name. And when I came to this country in Johnsonburg, Pennsylvania, the teachers' administration thought I would be better for them if they called me Bill. So everything is William. Social Security, military. Well, no, actually, in the military, it wasn't. When I joined, I hadn't become a citizen yet. And so I remember this one time waiting out in the bleachers, waiting for this lieutenant was talking away, and he comes to this name, and he goes, B-I-A-G-I-O. Didn't know how to pronounce it here. So these things happen, you know, that people's names get changed, and not officially, but that happens. So that's my story right now, and that's my presentation for the Gideon Ministry. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
Take your Zion's praises and turn to song number 806.